It's time for the Fantasy Points Podcast, brought to you by FantasyPoints.com. Top-level fantasy football and NFL betting analysis from every perspective and angle, from numbers to the film room, with a single goal: to help you score more fantasy points.
Here we go, the Week 13 Matchup Podcast here at FantasyPoints.com, recording this on Wednesday, December 1st, 7:38 p.m. Eastern, if you must know. I'm John Hansen. Greg Cosell, been in the film room, ready to rock and roll with some insight that we can hopefully use to our betterment in week number 13. Greg, what's up? How are you? You ready?
Sure, why not? We'll fool him again, John.
Yeah, we're good. We're good. Hit that little bit of that little tiny little post Thanksgiving wall. We'll power through it though, no doubt. And Greg, we can get it started here. This is just a little teaser of the content over at fantasypoints.com. Obviously, the podcast here is a free item here. Greg's notes are published every week on Fantasy Points. We do the 1.5 hour live stream with Adam Kaplan, go over every single matchup. And little secret, if you're listening to the podcast now and you're not a subscriber to the website, go there, create a free account. It's called a basic account, no credit card, and it does trigger a 7-day trial subscription so you can check out the goods. Greg, week 13 kicking off in New Orleans. You saw both teams here on, I guess, both sides of the ball, but we do have a quarterback change in New Orleans. It does look like they'll have full complement of running backs here. Kamara, I guess maybe a game time, but looking good there, and Mark Ingram. So I guess, do we start over here when we try to break down this passing game with Trevor Siemian the last 3 or 4 weeks? Is there a guy that you could see Taysom Hill kind of, you know, working with? It's a tough one. He did click a little bit with Tre'Quan Smith. Obviously, he clicked mostly with Michael Thomas, who's no longer in the mix. But your thoughts on the Saint offense? We know he's going to run, but when they do throw it, you know, what does Taysom Hill bring to the table? What are we looking at?
You know what, John? I don't mean to cop out, but your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah.
I really don't know here. You know, he hasn't played quarterback in quite a while. Obviously, he's practicing as the starter, I'm sure, you know. But I don't really know the answer to that. It wouldn't surprise me if they really try to focus on the run game. And see, obviously, he's a significant part of that. They're at the point where they're kind of playing for their season. And I think the best way for them to play offense with Taysom Hill is they won't get as extreme as, let's say, the Ravens do with the run game. But I think you'll see an awful lot of run game elements in the context of that offense. I really do.
Now, that could help offset a guy like Parsons, who, I mean, Greg, is he the nastiest rusher in football, top two this year?
He's the best edge pass rusher in the NFL right now, John.
There you go.
I've been saying that for 2-3 weeks, and every time I watch tape, and I think I've seen the Cowboy defense almost every game this year. And I made the point maybe 2 weeks ago. I think it'll be true even when DeMarcus Lawrence comes back. I think that Parsons will stay as an edge player because it's more of a premium position than a stacked linebacker. And yeah. I think they're perfectly comfortable with Keanu Neal and Kyle Van Der Esch as their stack backers. And certainly as they go forward, even though he got hurt and missed this season, they did draft another stacked backer in Cox from LSU, who's on IR, but he'll be back next year. I think Parsons will be a first-level player. He'll be a D-end, and they'll move him around in their sub-fronts. But I think he's the best edge pass rusher right now.
Wow, that's high praise here. It looks like the O-line, at least, they're going to be a little healthier, it looks like here. I'm looking at the injury report, and it doesn't look necessarily dire for these guys.
Is Ramczyk back this week?
I believe he is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this will be a good test because he'll have Armstead on one side and Ramczyk on the other side. So this will be a good test.
Well, you know, I say this, and they're both out of practice, but they're questionable. So I don't know what that means. You know,
well, I'm questionable too, John.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, if they were doubtful, okay, that's very definitive. But man, this is so we don't know about that, but we do know they're going to be smart to stay with that run for sure. And then over on the other side of things, you know, it it seems like Dak Prescott is playing quite well, maybe a little up and down, but some weird, you know, hiccups, but also flashes of brilliance. But really the story with Dallas is Ezekiel Elliott and their running game, or lack thereof. Is that what you see on tape?
Yeah, their run game has not really been a factor at all. And I think, I mean, it's easy for me to sit here and say they got to get back to it, but I think they have to try to run the football. I mean, I really like Dak Prescott as a player. The tape tells you that. But obviously, I guess Amari Cooper now is going to make the trip and could well play, but yeah, he's also missed a lot of time.
Yeah,
so, true. You know, even though he can be great in any given game, we don't know what you're going to get from Amari Cooper this week. I guess CD Lamb, he's okay to go, right?
Yeah, he's going to go.
Yeah, so, I mean, they have their full complement of receivers, which could easily make them think it's time to throw it around, and the Saints can be a difficult defense to run against. But in some ways, I feel, and maybe they disagree and maybe they'll tell me I'm wrong, but I feel that the Cowboys need the run game to be a factor no matter who they're playing against. And it has not been a factor. They could not run the ball well at all. They did not run the ball well at all against the Raiders.
Yeah. Yeah. And then is there a matchup here that we see in the passing game for Dak, whether it be getting Lamb in the slot? I guess that would be ideal. What do you think of the cornerback play here? I mean, they do have Adebo, Lattimore, and Roby. That's a pretty good threesome.
Yeah. I don't think there's one match. I mean, Adebo is a guy who I would go after, okay? Mm-hmm. Because I think, number one, I think he can be beaten on double moves. He does not have great recovery speed. He's a solid guy. I think he's a good zone player more than a true man player. So then it depends on how the Saints choose to play. But I think he's the guy you want to attack vertically and see how he handles it.
Yeah, well, that would be Lamb for sure.
Or Gallup.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Of course. Yeah, no question. No question about that. And then Saints not going to have Davenport here.
Right.
Once again, with that shoulder. Greg, moving on to other things that you saw. Well, speaking of the Saints, you saw the Bills offense. Are we shifting a little bit and phasing out Zach Moss? And it's kind of a new day in the Bill backfield here, as well as maybe their commitment to those guys a little bit more.
Well, it looks like Breida is definitely a factor now. He started the last game. Singletary ended up with more carries, but it looks like it's Breida and Singletary. You know, Breida gives them some juice. See, the thing is they have not been very explosive offensively. Even, you know, Josh Allen's numbers are actually quite good, and they're on pace for this what he did a year ago in terms of yards and touchdowns and those things. But they have not been as explosive with the big pass plays as they were a year ago.
Yep.
So they're looking for some explosiveness in their offense. And, you know, teams are playing in a little more in a two-shell against them.
Right.
And they do need to run the ball to some degree. I don't think, John, they'll ever be what we would consider a running team. Yeah. But I think the run game has to have some production. And Breida at least gives them some big playability. Plus, he's really good in the screen game.
Plus, he's fresh, and it shows.
Yeah. Yep, that's a good point.
Dawson Knox, I asked last week if there were design plays for him, and he said not necessarily, but it seemed like those two touchdowns were design plays for him.
This week?
Yeah.
In that game? Well, he had the, let's see, he had the 24-yard touchdown, which I'm trying to remember.
The 7-yarder on second and goal was a, you know, a quick one.
Right, right. Knox motion. I'm reading my notes because I made a note about this play, but God, it's weird that I can't visually see in my head.
Well, it's weird that he only gets, he has a huge day.
Oh, no. That, yes. The Knox 24-yard touchdown was designed for him. Yes. That was a design play because in many ways, now I remember it exactly. I just had a senior moment there, John. Sorry.
Yeah, it's fine.
It was in many, very similar in concept to the 26-yard pass play to Gabriel Davis earlier in the game. They were both short yardage plays. So they were schematically similar out of different formations to different guys, but they were both short yardage plays. So, yes, that play to Knox for the touchdown was fourth and two, and it was designed for him, yes.
You know, I love Knox. The kid can run. I don't really have a comp for him out there in the league. You know, he's, I don't know.
For Dawson Knox, I'm looking at the teams, John. I'm trying to.
He's a former quarterback. He's an athlete, you know. I kind of think of he's what I wish Evan Engram was in some ways.
I mean, he's on a different team that doesn't necessarily feature him, but doesn't he move? I mean, couldn't you let's say you put him in the Ravens offense?
Mark Andrews, I knew you were going to go there. Yep, athletic.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. That's a good one. Really good. All right, that's a good thought there. Well, this week, you know, how do you even break down the matchup for Josh Allen? To me, it comes down to execution, obviously turnovers and all that. But, you know, we know the Patriots are going to devise a good game plan, and they need to deal with that. They know each other well, and if they can execute, you know, he'll be okay. If not, maybe not. I mean, right? I mean, it's a tough matchup, though, overall. Probably the toughest in the league for him.
And what you'll see, and this is what we know, what you'll see for sure is you'll see situations where they double Diggs.
Yeah.
Based on down and distance, based on field location, based on where Diggs lines up in the formation. You might see situations where they double Beasley because Beasley is clearly a go-to guy in specific situations. And believe me, Bill Belichick will know this. And by the way, Sean McDermott will know this too. I mean, this is not going to be news, you know, but that's what's going to happen. And then it comes down to how Josh Allen and the Bills respond to it.
I have this feeling that
I think, I'm sorry, John. One thing I think where Josh Allen has improved is I think he's much better at deciphering things post-snap. I think a year ago, even when he had the great year last year, you know, and certainly before that, I think you could get Josh Allen post-snap. I think he's better at that.
Yeah, and very good last week, by the way. Very clean game for him, right?
Yeah, I mean, he threw the two picks, but they were, you know, one was, I'm trying to remember, one was to Diggs, and I don't think that was necessarily a bad thing by Josh Allen, because I remember the play. He thought Diggs would break inside, and he broke outside, so it wasn't, you know, it wasn't one of those where he went, oh my God, what's he doing?
I guess I meant clean game for the offense, you know, because they were in, it was like havoc out there for a couple of weeks with Buffalo.
Yeah. No, I think they're better. And by the way, that 7-yard touchdown you were talking about for Knox was designed for Knox.
I just have this feeling that Belichick, and I'm probably wrong, looks at Knox and says, you know what? This guy is pretty damn good. You know, we don't get beat by that guy. We'll take our chances with Cole Beasley for, you know, because Knox is a big, I mean, you could argue Knox is their most explosive player this year.
Yeah. I mean, I think that'll be situational, John. I mean, that's the way Belichick does it. It's, you know, do I think he'll think that he has to take away Knox on every play? No, because that's not the way the Bills play offense. But I think there'll be clear situations where that's true. Yes, I would agree with you 100% on that.
Yeah, I really do think he's the most explosive player really overall here. Speaking of those Patriots, you know, I was a little surprised that the game was honestly as close as it was. Seemed like Mac Jones, another very solid performance, but maybe not up to par with some of the more recent games that we saw from
him. Yeah, I don't think it was his best game. I didn't think he threw the ball as well as we've seen him. I thought he missed some opportunities that were there. There were some plays he didn't see as clearly post-snap. The numbers were good, you know, but I think when you watch the tape, you know, obviously I do not have a direct line to Josh McDaniels, but I would bet that they would feel that there were some things in this game that need to be corrected. That was my sense watching the tape.
I know you're, like everybody, I guess, impressed by Ed Oliver, former the number one pick, right?
Yeah, he was really dominant this week, really dominant.
Yeah, they have a lot of talent. They got, you know, those linebackers. They've got some edge rushers, some bulk inside here. Tough matchup overall. No Tre'Davious White. I'm not that worried about Mac Jones, though, but you know, McDermott and the Bills, it seems like they kind of more often than not just kind of play things kind of straight away, straight up, if you will. But, you know, maybe they've changed this year. But, you know, what type of challenge do you think this matchup is for Mac Jones?
I'd be very curious as to how they play, because obviously White's gone, and White was not truly a matchup corner, as we've discussed many times, John. He was the boundary corner a very high percentage of the time. The Bills are a 100% nickel defense, okay, which is a very interesting thing. They have not played a defensive snap with three linebackers since week 6. Hmm. Keep that in mind. And now they're playing a Patriots team whose starting point is clearly the run, and that plays with a fullback. Right. So
okay.
The question becomes, and you never know in big games like this, do the Bills say, you know what, maybe we need A.J. Klein on the field at times? You know, we're just spitballing here. That's what we do on Wednesday nights. You know, we kind of throw it against the wall and see what happens. I don't know the answer to that, but I know that Teron Johnson, who's their slot corner, is a very, very physical and competitive run defender, and that's why they play nickel literally 100% of their snaps.
Gotcha.
The other thing we don't know, because White's not there, is will that decrease the amount of man coverage they play? Now, the Patriots receivers, you know, certainly guys are having good years. Kendrick Bourne's having a nice year. But I don't think they would look at those receivers and say, man, we got to lock them down.
Yeah.
So I don't know. You know, I could they play more zone than man? Absolutely. You know, I think that you got to deal with Hunter Henry, particularly when you get into the red area. That seems to be, you know, the guy they go to quite a bit, that they design things for.
Yeah. Are they changing? Are they evolving at all? We did see a little Jonnu Smith this week, and you mentioned Bourne has kind of emerged.
Yeah, they're a very schemed pass game, John. So it's how they want to attack their specific opponents.
Right.
And, you know, I'm trying to figure out how they might attack the Bills. I think Milano and Edmonds are really good linebackers.
Yeah. I think it's what you said, run it downhill on their asses.
Yeah, that could to me, that'll be the starting point.
Yeah.
But I know in the pass game, they'll have something where they feel like, hey, this is where we can attack. I think their safeties are really good, Poyer and Hyde. I don't think the Bills have that dominant pass rusher, but I think they don't have a bad player on their defense.
Yeah, I'm not coming up with anything either. Yeah. I mean, there's no real weakness. You mentioned the slot corner.
He's a good player.
Yeah. Well, it's a challenge for sure here for Mac Jones. That's a great point too about schemed up, because that guy like Kendrick Bourne is very difficult to evaluate, because he doesn't get a ton of snaps or targets, but they hit on these schemed plays, so the numbers are big. But yet, when you look at the usage, you're like,
right.
Give this guy 100 yards, yeah, you know?
And you look at the longer touchdown he caught last week, which was just, you know, a 7-yard pass and really shoddy tackling. So how do you factor that into a projection going forward? You know, that's got to be a tough call for you.
Well, you look at the YPR. I mean, you go off of that, you know, the dude's averaging 14 yards a catch over the last 4 weeks.
Yeah.
You got to look at that. And it's a pretty decent sample size. Moving on, Greg, listening to the week 13 matchup podcast here at fantasypoints.com. This is just a little teaser, little sample, because Greg's still in that film room. Well, you know, I was surprised to read your notes on Jalen Hurts. It you didn't seem that negative on Hurts. It sure seemed like a very poor performance, but we did also have some drops. So a weekly price check here on Jalen Hurts and the Eagle offense.
Yeah, I mean, I watched Red Zone on Sunday, so I didn't see the game as it happened. And I'm sure for Eagles fans watching it as it happened, it probably seemed horrendous because, you know, obviously they only scored one touchdown. But when I watched the tape, and maybe it's because I'm a little more realistic based on having watched him play in college, really studied his Oklahoma tape and some of his Alabama tape in great detail, seeing every snap last year, seeing every snap this year. I guess maybe some people expected after the last couple of weeks, when really the run game was the foundation, that this guy has reached the level where, oh, he's great. I mean, I know last week a lot of commentators on TV were like, well, the Eagles have their guy. This guy's really good. Wow. I guess I didn't see it that way, you know, just based on the tape study, John. So, you know, when he struggles at times, I don't view that as, oh, my God, this guy's awful. I still think he's working through being an NFL quality passer. He has moments. And certainly he made an unbelievable throw to Rager that he dropped at the end of the game on the deep ball down the left sideline. You know, a tough catch because he had to work through contact, but he couldn't have handed it to him any better. But when I watched the tape, I didn't think it was as bad. He had some really bad plays, individual plays, yeah. But I thought overall it wasn't terrible.
You're like a professional athlete. You never get too high or too low, you know?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the end zone interception was horrendous, and he knows that. The third interception, he did a really poor job of manipulating the deep safety, who was McKinney. That's his responsibility on a deep ball, and he does not have a big deep ball arm. His deep balls lose energy on the back end, but he's always been like that. So that, to me, was not news.
Well, he's started 16 games. That's essentially a full season. Right. I mean, at some point, we're going to need to say, well, this is what he is. We're not there yet.
It'll take longer because he's not a natural passer. So ultimately, the question becomes, and this is a question that doesn't help for fantasy for this week, but just as we're talking ball, which is kind of what we do on Wednesday nights, is he does give you, in some ways, the Ravens-type offense with the run game.
Sure.
Because the Eagles are adding layers to their run game each and every week because the run game starts with Hurts. He's the foundation of the run game. So the question is that enough? Can that compensate for the fact that he may never be a higher-level passer? We don't know where he'll go as a passer. But my guess is we're never going to talk about Jalen Hurts the way we talk about, you know, the higher level passers. So that's a question for another time and a different deal. But he's going to be week to week as a passer, John.
How often is Devontae Smith open and the ball doesn't go to him or goes to him poorly played? It feels like a guy's like always open.
I wouldn't say he was as open this week as maybe some other weeks. In fact, it's funny because I actually thought the guy who looked really good, and then of course you had the two plays at the end. I thought Rager looked really good this week. I thought he looked really good running routes.
But wow.
Then of course he had the two drops, and you know the second one in particular is just inexcusable. I mean, you got to catch that ball.
Yeah, man.
The first one you got to catch too, but that was a tougher catch.
That's a shame. You know, if he's still working hard to, show well, and then he makes those, mental errors, I guess. Damn, that sucks.
Don't forget, too, that Ward dropped a touchdown late in the second quarter, right before Hurts threw the pick. So that should have been a touchdown, and we never would have gotten to that pick.
I mean, is Boston Scott a better player this year than Miles Sanders generally?
No, I don't get that, but that's just me, John. That's just me.
Well, I mean, for fantasy, he's better.
Well, he might be. And I guess Sanders is still nursing an injury, so it may be Scott getting the majority of the carry. So for this week in fantasy, Scott may be the guy.
Yeah. But you're okay with Sanders showing on film this year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It always seems to be something, though, a benching, an injury.
Well, he seems to, he wasn't benched this week, was he?
The week before he was, right?
Yeah.
For a quarter, I believe.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there, but he's a very talented guy. But I can't speak. I don't know the answer to that.
I mean, we're waiting patiently for he doesn't have a touchdown yet. I mean, that's number one. It's week 13.
I know that's a little weird.
What's that?
That's a little weird. You're right.
Yeah, yeah. We're just waiting for like a nice complete performance, and
you follow this more than I do. Did they re-sign him, or is he still on his rookie deal?
Believe he's still on the rookie deal.
Well, it's going to be interesting then, what they think of him, what this coaching staff thinks. I know in training camp, everybody was raving about him. Everybody.
Yeah, you don't want to give up on a guy that turns out to be like Joe Mixon the next year, But on the other hand, he's
been... Joe Mixon's pretty good, by the way.
Oh, that's my point. Yeah, you don't want to lose him, and then he looks like Joe Mixon, which is another way of saying he looks awesome. Yeah, he is signed through 2022.
Okay, so he's basically ready in his mind to get a new deal for big money. So the Eagles may not be the team that wants to do that.
That'll be the final year of his rookie deal next year. So he is playing through 2022. So they got another year to evaluate him. And then maybe not a complete pushover, though, this week against the Jets. I saw you actually saw their D.
Yeah, the Jets are, you know, I think the Jets' D is a little better than people think. And this week, they had an historically bad stretch. We know that. And
they lost players, too, Greg.
What's that?
They lost players.
A ton of players. I think they've kind of come out of that a little bit. And I thought, again, I know who they played this past week, so I don't want people to think I'm sitting here saying, wow, this D is awesome. But I thought they played with a lot of energy, a lot of activity. They have some speed at linebacker with Mosley and Quincy Williams. You know, the secondary can be a little rough at times, although I think Bryce Hall at one corner is a pretty good player and actually would have been a much higher draft choice if he didn't get hurt his last year in college. So he's not, you know, just some guy off the street. And their front has some people. Franklin Myers has played well. Quinnen Williams is a good player. Sheldon Rankins has flashed. I don't think this is a terrible defense from a personnel perspective.
Effort's pretty good, I can tell you that. You know, the guys play hard for sure. And that's Ulbrich, right? Isn't he a former Niner guy?
Yeah, he was a former player. Yeah.
Ulbrich, yeah.
Former linebacker. Yep.
Moving on here, a couple more tidbits here. Speaking of the Niners here, good game for Jimmy G. Elijah Mitchell looks like a two-time Pro Bowler out there. Feels like he's really rolling. Also your thoughts on Juwan Jennings, who essentially is the Deebo Samuel replacement. Different players, but I remember you kind of liked Juwan Jennings last year coming out of Tennessee.
I really did. What killed him was he ran a 4.74, which was, by the way, 0.2 seconds faster than Anquan Boldin's 40. So
wow, yeah. He does look like a tight end out there at times.
He's about 6'3", 215. He's super competitive, really physical, great hands. He played super well in the SEC against, you know, obviously high level five-star athletes. So it's not like he came out of Tennessee as a nobody. He was pretty big time in college. I think the other guy I want to talk about is Brandon Ayuk. Last 4 weeks, 25 targets, 17 of those on in-breaking routes. On those 17 targets on in-breaking routes, John, he's got 15 catches for 258 yards and 2 touchdowns.
He's back.
The guy who everybody thought, I guess, was in the doghouse early in the season. Now that Samuel's out for at least a week or two, I think Ayuk is a really good play right now.
Yeah, yep, he's back. And that's why we buy low, we buy the dip. And these guys, I say it every year, you know, Brandon Ayuk was being drafted as the 50th player overall for a reason. It's like you had millions of people being sampled and they all agreed he was worth a top 50 pick, essentially. And
people forget he was a first round pick. You know, he's the 25th player chosen, if I'm not mistaken. And his college tape was good. And he ran a lot of in-breaking routes in college, too. And that's where their pass game is. You know, they work between the numbers. So, but I agree with you. I think Jennings will be Samuel's replacement. He's not Samuel. He's not going to be in the backfield. But he can catch. That's his game. He's physical and competitive. He's going to catch those in-breaking throws.
I feel like it'll be a Kittle game this week in Seattle. That Seattle D is hanging in there. They're not horrible. You know, they play hard still.
They're not good, but they're not horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of like Kittle here. They do give up some numbers.
Yeah, Kittle, he's not had a lot of targets recently.
I think that's going to change with Deebo out, though, because remember, Debo's getting those carries.
You could be right. That's a good point. You could be right on that. Yeah.
Offense is like going through Deebo, basically. And why wouldn't it? Let's see. I had one or two other ones here, Greg. Let's talk Seattle offense here. Just how bad is it? At this point with Russell Wilson, is it mental, or can you tell maybe it's mental, or might it still be physical with his injury?
I think he's missed a couple of easy throws that could be a result of the finger, you know, because he's kind of airmailed really simple throws a couple of times. So my guess is that's probably, you know, injury related with his finger. But I don't think Wilson's played particularly well either in what he sees. I don't think he's seeing things real well.
I mean, he's never
seeing them clearly or fast enough at times. And therefore he's leaving a lot of throws on the field. You know, I mean, I have a thought based on just watching probably every Wilson game since he's been in the league, and maybe I'm wrong and maybe people will disagree, but it's just a thought based on film study. They brought in Shane Waldron, who came from the Rams, okay? And
yeah.
That's an offense that's so based on precision, as yeah. you well know. And I think Wilson, while he's capable of playing that way, I think at his core he's more of an instinct player. And
that's, it just feels like they're at a stalemate here. Like it just feels like there's some sort of stalemate.
That it does feel that way, doesn't it? When you watch them, I would agree with you.
Yeah. It's like Pete or Russell, one of them's leaving, basically.
That could be the case. Could well be the case.
But yeah, that's putting a square peg in a round hole, man. If you're trying to get a precision timing based offense with Russell freaking Wilson out there playing street ball, you know,
and the issue has been that those big time street ball plays have not occurred with the frequency that they have in the past. So when that doesn't happen and they're not running it well enough, their offense kind of shuts down.
You know, Tyler Lockett's still streaking open though. And where the hell's DK? Obviously he was not targeted. That was bizarre. Sure, there'll be some sort of correction this week, but that was weird.
Yeah, his first target came middle of the third quarter, and he wasn't even the primary.
Yeah,
you know, again,
that feels like they're in an argument or something. They're fighting. I mean, it's weird.
Yeah, that doesn't feel right. I would agree with you on that. Something's not right there.
Washington offensive football team. How about our guy Antonio Gibson? It only took like 3 months, but this is the guy we thought we were getting, and he's running hard. I think he looks good. Coming out of the break, and obviously he's a major foundational player the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, we'll see if that continues. I mean, he's a straight line power speed runner with great competitiveness, strong finishing traits. He's got sustaining traits. I don't think he's shifty in that way, but he's like I said, he's a power speed runner. And you know, the game played out this week that he had 29 carries. It probably won't happen that way every week, but I think they'd like him to be the starting point and the foundation.
You know, A.J. Dillon is kind of like a gigantic Gibson in some ways, you know, to your point. Well, power speed, though. But A.J. Dillon gets an open field. That dude can run.
Yeah, I don't know if he can run like Gibson can, but.
Right.
Yeah.
He is a freak athlete, though, A.J. Dillon. We haven't seen much of it, but there will be a time where he will surprise, I think, people with the long speed. But, Gibson does look very good. Seems like Taylor Heinicke has kind of fought through a little bit of a rough patch there, and he's back to sustaining, you know, an acceptable level of play. You know,
without question. You know, Heinicke is—he's kind of an interesting guy. I mean, I'm not saying he's your guy going forward, and they don't need a quarterback, but he's been efficient in their 3-game winning streak, John. I mean, he's quick to see it. He gets the ball out. He takes what's there. He keeps the offense on schedule. He's shown some second reaction dimension to his game. And despite his size, he's got a little bit of a physical competitive feel to him. So, yeah, is he somewhat limited as a passer? Yes. But, you know, he's one of those guys that you can kind of line up and play with. I mean, you know.
He's got grit.
Yeah.
He's
got moxie.
He does lead the league, though, not by official count, but just my count. He leads the league in hospital balls, though, throwing the receivers. I will say that.
Yeah. There are some balls of his that come out, and it looks like it's going to take a week to get there.
Yeah, I mean, that ball down the seam to Logan Thomas in the first half, I'm like, oh, my God, the guy's been out 2 months, man. But Logan Thomas looked good, I thought. He was running. He looked fresh. And Bengal offense quickly.
Joe Mixon, zone run game has become the major driving force of what they've been doing the last couple of weeks.
I was going to ask, are we going identity? I'm not there yet, but you would know better.
I think they'd like it to be. Yeah, I think they'd like it to be. But so I think they're going to stay with it until otherwise it's stopped. But yes,
right.
You know, Mixon is a big man.
Oh, yeah, he looks great.
Yeah.
But I would argue, like, I don't think this is sustainable. I mean, he's going off every week.
No, that's not going to happen every week. But that's a different question, I think, than the identity, you know. So,
You know, again, I would say watching him play the last month, oh, he's the identity. But you do have Joe Burrow. That's the number one pick of the draft.
They're not going to try to hide Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
I think they would like to give the ball to Mixon 20 times a game.
I think it speaks, though, to their excellent balance. I mean, you know, they can beat you in any way. And how about the O-line that seemingly don't suck this year?
No, it's, and I think O-lines get better when you run the ball. I think that's just kind of built into running the ball. You know, linemen get fired up.
Greg, we can wrap it up here. We left some meat on the bone here. We do have some more notes that we'll cover on the live stream with Greg and Adam Kaplan tomorrow night. Greg, we'll wrap that up now here on Wednesday evening. Good luck to everybody week 13. Remember, go to fantasypoints.com if you're not a subscriber. Sign up for a basic account. It's free, and that will trigger a 7-day trial, and you can check out the goods. For Greg Cosell, I'm John Hansen. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Fantasy Points Podcast. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite platform. And come join the roster at fantasypoints.com.